Welcome to Gardening with Angelo on News Radio WTAM 1100. Now your host, Angelo Petitti.
Good morning and welcome to Gardening with Angelo. Our phone number, area code 216-578-1100 or 216-578-1111. Beautiful day out there today. Actually, it was a beautiful day yesterday. Things started to dry up a little bit. The moisture definitely has been a little bit of an issue, especially with for vegetable gardens. It definitely started to affect some of the tomatoes, some of the zucchini, the cucumbers. When you get all that moisture at night with high humidity, you are going to create funguses and also a breeding area for insect to multiply at a very, very high rate. So these are some of the things that you definitely want to be on top of. The same thing with your annuals. Make sure that the rate is very beneficial. Also, it drains all the nutrients out of it. That also beats up the flowers. If you start to see that your annuals are peaking out a little bit, make sure that you trim them back and feed them Osmocote. On a regular basis, generally Osmocote in a pot will last anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks. This year, I would say 4 weeks is more normal because of the excessive amount of rain that we have had, especially in the last couple of weeks. That really takes out a lot of the nutrients, and it really takes out the longevity that it lasts. This past week, Japanese beetles have definitely been on the on the rise. Some areas are very heavily affected. Some areas haven't seen any. If you are in one of the areas where you are being affected, just to make sure that you put your Japanese beetle traps away from the house. Position them in a way that the that they're facing the house, and and replace them. Check them on a daily basis, because especially the first 2-3 days, you'll see that they'll fill the bag up almost immediately, within a couple hours. So make sure you get rid of them and replace the bags, and just keep it there, because that's they can be quite damaging, especially when they're wearing the they are in full force. That's another a chemical that you can go out and spray on the on your flowering shrubs, so that that eliminates them right away. Or you can use Captain Jack's Dead Brew to spray the beetles. These all work, but a combination of the two, using the bag, that really makes a big difference. And with that, the Japanese are laying their larvae in there, so you're going to find that the grubs will be the next thing that you're going to have in the lawn. Make sure that you use Grubex. At the same time on your lawn, you can apply that pretty much any time. Your herbs, make sure that you cut them back, at least every couple of weeks. Harvest them. Don't let them go to the seed. Don't let them harden up. Keep harvesting. You can dry them. Very, very easy to dry. Just put them in a microwave. Set a paper towel. Put the herbs on top. Put another paper towel on top of that. About 2 minutes in a microwave, they're perfectly dry, and then go ahead and store them in a jar. You can mix the varieties that you're using together for cooking or for dressing up your salads. You can put them together and put them in separate jars. You will find that they will be as fresh as the day you pick them. Also, make sure that you feed them Osmocote. You want to keep the herbs extremely, extremely vegetative. That's what keeps them fresh. That's what keeps them growing. So you want to make sure that you keep that up on an ongoing basis. And the more you cut them, the more growth you're going to have, the more harvest you're going to have, the better your herbs are going to be through the summer. On your pots, make sure that you clean them all out. Like I said, the rain is really playing a little bit of an effect on the flowers. Don't be afraid to trim those plants back and go ahead and feed them Osmocote. And about every 4 to 6 weeks, depending on how the need goes, just go ahead right, and keep doing it. Mosquitoes is another issue that we're having, especially with the amount of moisture that we have. So if you see any standing water anywhere, whether it be a bird bath or fountains or just on the ground where you see that area, the areas where water is just puddling up, make sure that you just put some mosquito dunks in there. And also try to eliminate these areas where water is sitting there. On your bird baths, make sure you wash your bird baths really well. Dump the water out. Sometimes you have a little bit of algae at the bottom, just with some fresh water and a cloth, just to wipe it off, clean it up, and put it back. That way, just keep an eye on it. If the rains continue, you want to make sure that you keep that water nice and fresh. Your vegetables, especially on your tomatoes, make sure that you remove all the suckers, remove all the bottom, the bottom leaves on the ground level, remove all those leaves out of there. They're not producing anything. They're just creating an area for insects to arbor in. So clean all that out, remove the suckers, open them up. If you see any leaves that, or any, side of the tomatoes that they've been, that they're damaged either by the wind or by the rain, just make sure that you remove them, keep them clean, keep them well fed. Best thing to use on them is Plantone. So make sure that that gets all done. And on your zucchini, generally, as you get those bottom leaves, the oldest leaves are going to turn yellow. It's a natural thing. Make sure you cut those off. Don't just snap them off. Use a pair of scissors and just cut them right at the base. Remove all the damaged foliage or the dried up foliage or you want to get that all out. The same thing on the cucumbers. Clean all that out. Peppers, they thrive pretty well in this weather. They love the humidity, they love the heat, but the same thing there, make sure you check them for insects. Best thing to use on vegetables is Captain Jack's dead brew. It's an organic, it really works well, and make sure you get the underneath of the foliage. Very, very important that you do that. The slugs, with the moisture, slugs is another issue that we have. We have a lot, especially on hostas and a lot of the vegetables that that have those big thick leaves. You will find that they'll be on there. Bonite slug snail killer. Just put circle there right around the plant, and that will do the job. Powdery mildew, you'll find that on the cucumbers, on the zucchini. Check all your other, all your flowering plant shrubs. You also can find some powdery mildew on there. You want to make sure that you address that. The best thing for that is copper fungicide. Just go ahead and spray the top. Make sure you also get the underneath of the foliage, so that at least you keep that in check. I put a little list of some of the best summer blooming perennials. These are perennials that they're very, very easy to grow, and you're going to have just a tremendous success that are just easy to grow from a standpoint of care and just great blooming. Russian sage, especially some of the new varieties, that they're extremely dwarfed. They're just excellent. The delphiniums, coneflowers is just a huge selection of coneflowers that you will find, from any very dwarfed to very tall. A lot of different colors, a lot of new colors, a lot of the reds, a lot of the orange, the yellows, purple, white. This plant has really been totally renovated. You got just some exceptional quality plants in there. Coreopsis, the same thing in there. There's probably 20, 30 different varieties of Coreopsis, from any height, any shape of foliage, any shape of flowers, mixed colors on the flowers. Just tremendous, tremendous bloomer, extremely hardy for our area. They just don't stop blooming pretty much all summer. They start early. They start generally around the end of April, early May, and they go all the way in the late fall. Salvia is another one, great perennial for our garden, does exceptionally well in our area. This will bloom for about 4 to 5 weeks, cut it back, feed it, and then it starts all over again. It'll keep right on going. Just keep doing that through the summer. As it starts to get spent out, cut it back, and you will find that it'll keep on blooming. Scabiosa is another one that exceptionally great performer, very easy to grow. It just gets better and better every year. Great color, dwarf, easy to manage, and very hardy for our area. Coral Bells, this plant they have totally renovated in the last 10 years. There's about 20 to 30 different varieties in there. The foliage really holds up magnificent through the summer. It doesn't get any scab. It doesn't get any burning. It just gets better and better as the summer goes, and also gets better and better as the years go, as it gets older. Shasta daisies, this is another plant that they've totally renovated it, and just a great plant for the garden. The same thing there, anywhere from 4 to 6 inches all the way up to 3 feet. Great plant to have in a garden, great performer, very, very easy to grow. And all the perennial hibiscus, there's so many different varieties of those now. The flowers, some of them are 12 to 14 inches, very large, beautiful foliage, a lot of color in the foliage, a lot of color in the stems. Just great plant to have in your landscape, to give you color all summer. They make great cut flowers. Also some of the best flowering trees, especially for small area. You know, the magnolias, you know, the different varieties of magnolias that they're in a tree form. Great plants to have, easy to grow, and also you can contain them to be in a very small area. The crabs argentina, there's two or three different varieties of crab, very, very small heads. They'll fit very well in small places. They do exceptionally well in our area. Easy to grow, and just a beautiful color in the summer. The wisteria, especially the American series, excellent to have in the garden. The red buds, this is another plant that every year we get a new one in there, anywhere from a deep red maroon foliage to a gold to a orange to a yellow. Weepers, kind of fountain-like type of foliage on it, just absolutely spectacular for our landscape. They do exceptionally well in our area. Just don't plant those in a very windy area. You really don't want them, put them where they're going to get all beaten up. The Cleveland Select flowering pear, by far one of the best medium-sized flowering trees. If you're looking for something to give you a little bit of shade and just exceptional color, the Select flowering pear is one of the ones that you definitely want to take a look at. The Quonset cherries, beautiful varieties, a lot of color in the spring. The weeping cherries, these are some of the trees that you can use that they don't take a huge amount of space, but they will have just a great addition to your landscape. You are listening to Gardening with Angelo. Our phone number is area code 216-578-1100 or 216-578-1111. We're going to take a very short pause. We will be right back.
Back to Gardening with Angelo on News Radio WTAM 1100. Once again, Angelo Petiti.
We're back. You are listening to Gardening with Angelo. Our phone number, 216-578-1100 or 216-578-1111. Good morning.
Good morning, Angelo.
How are we doing?
Great. How are you today?
Excellent. Thank you.
Good. I heard your opening remarks about the moisture, and I think it's affected my two burning bushes. I've got spider mites. They're large bushes, and I've sprayed them 4 times since May with Bonide systemic insect control.
Yep.
And I've never had any problems with these, but they're loaded with.
Yeah, this year, spider mites go. I don't know how this all happens, but they will get in one area, and they will attack a plant or two, and they're just they'll just destroy the plant. The good thing is you spray them on time, so even though that there's a little bit of, there's the damage on the foliage, the plant will be okay. I would go ahead and you say you sprayed about 4 times?
Yes. Last being a week ago, I used a gallon of spray on both of them. I mean, top and bottom. I even did the ground underneath.
Yeah, I would just, I think you've done all you can do. The plant will be fine. It's just not going to look as attractive as it should, especially when it comes this fall. But there's not much else that you can do. I would not spray it anymore. I think whatever was on there, it was taken care of, unless it rained right after you sprayed. The plant will be fine. It's not going to, but what I would do next year, when it comes in the spring, just go ahead and use the tree and shrub protection, soak the ground, and then they won't have a chance to get on there.
Is there, I thought I had heard you talk about in the past, like an oil spray or something that I can put on in the fall, maybe?
Well, I mean, in late fall or even in winter, you can go ahead and use the all-season oil. All-season oil is basically a suffocator. What it does, it coats the area, and any eggs in there, it just basically cuts the air supply off. That's what it does. But in winter time and the early spring, very good thing to use on there. But the best one is still the tree and shrub protection that you can just saturate the ground with. Do that like early spring, and I think you'll never have that problem again.
Do I need to spray the ground underneath it?
No. I think what you did was the best thing you could do, and it stopped it. Being a systemic, it will also handle the eggs. But it just that the plant's not going to be as bright. You're not going to have the brightness that you normally have in the fall.
Okay. Do they also attack boxwood?
No.
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 Okay. No. Then that's something else. I'm seeing some webs on my boxwood.
Yeah. What you're getting at, those are spiders.
Okay.
Like 8 or Captain Jacks will take care of that. Just one spray, that will take care of it. But they don't do it. They're not nice to look at. It creates that web there, but they don't do any damage.
Great. Okay.
All right.
Very good. All right. Thanks very much.
You have a great day.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Morning, get out with Angelo.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are we doing?
Very good, thank you. Last year when I planted my garlic in September, I put potash in the ground, triple phosphate, and bulb tone. And then I put a bag of sweet peat over the top and then put preen over that. Was that overkill?
Yes. Basically what you need to do when you're going to plant the garlic, the best thing to do, Aspoma makes a product called Clay Buster.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically it looks like a little gravel.
Yes, I know what it.
Yeah,
looks
you
like.
Mix that with either sweet peat or planting mix. Work that with your soil. That's really all you need to do, and then just feed it bulb tone. That's really all they
okay.
need.
My ground is really good. It crumbles.
Yeah.
There's no clay in it at all.
Yeah. Then all you need to do just use put your bulbs in there and then use bulb tone. That's really all you need to do. If your ground is good, if it's nice and loose, that's really all you need to do.
Is bulb tone better than garden tone?
Bulb tone, yeah. It's really formulated for bulbs. Basically, it's got it doesn't have the flush. All it does, it has the ingredients in there to really multiply the bulbs and really also enhance the size of the bulb. So,
yeah, because I plant a couple hundred different varieties, different varieties.
Yeah, bulb tone is the best thing you can use for that.
Okay. And one more question. Can I or should I use Osmocote on my dahlias that are planted in the ground?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And all your flowering, just use Osmocote. Generally, it's about a six-week feed in the ground. This year, with all the rain that we had, that may shorten the length. You can pretty much tell when it starts to run out. On the dahlias, these are that's a blooming machine. When it gets into August, September, October, even in November, they just keep going. They're nonstop. So make sure you keep them well fed, and every couple of weeks go through and remove the old flowers. But
I do that every day almost.
Remove the stems. Don't just take the flower off.
Yeah.
Make sure that the stem comes off.
Okay. And would that Osmocote be the one with the pink cap or the green cap?
The one with the green cap.
The green? Okay, good. I got a bunch of that.
Good.
Okay, thank you, Andy.
All right. Well, you enjoy your day. It's absolutely beautiful out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Morning, get out, Angelo. Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello.
Go ahead.
We have these six beautiful Japanese willow trees. And one day I went out and I looked at the bottom of them. And one of them had these little tiny fuzzy caterpillars.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked on the trees, and there were also little boring holes in them. So we went and bought some of the 3-in-1 and sprayed it all over. And then we still found a whole bunch of dead limbs. And so we cut them off, and we had somebody come and spray, like, the umbrella thing over them. But now I went out, looked out the other day, and I've got, like, a yellow fungus at the bottom of the tree.
Okay.
And or a black fungus, and when you punch it a little bit, it turns yellow. Are we going to lose our trees?
No, no. But, okay. Just make sure you spray it with, you know, the and the foliage. Put that Captain Jack's on there. That will stop the fungus from, you know, from spreading. It's just the humidity. It just we've had the rain, but the humidity at night has been so excessive. That's what's causing all of that. And you did all the right steps as far as spraying it and that. If you see any more dead wood, go ahead and take that off. And then when it comes in next spring, don't be afraid to trim that hard. By doing that, you will get all new branching on it. So don't be afraid to cut it as hard as it needs to be. Hopefully we get into a dry period. If we get into a weaker dry period, you will see that the whole tree will look totally different, and it will change very, very quickly. But all you want to do now is just stop the fungus from spreading from in the foliage. That's really the most important thing.
It's all on the ground, so do I pick that up and throw it away, or
no? It'll dry up. Just if you have any lime, you could pick it up and throw it away. Oh. Or if you have any lime, just put a little bit of lime on it. It'll burn it right out.
Oh, cool! And does that Captain Jack come in a liquid?
Yeah, it's a liquid. Yes.
Oh, okay. I think that's it.
All right.
Thank
you have a great
so
day.
Thank you so much for taking our phone call.
Yeah. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Morning, Hour Angelo. Hello. Good morning. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes. Good morning.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have a couple questions. First, I heard you talking about cutting back your Stella Doro, but I couldn't catch whether you cut just the flower stalk or you cut the whole thing off.
The whole stem. You take the stem out.
The flower.
The flower and the stem, yes.
What about the foliage, the leaves?
The foliage, Stella's, and this year it's probably a year that you might get it. Sometimes the leaves get damaged. If you see that it gets to a point where the color and the quality of the leaves is kind of damaged or scarred, or it gets sometimes a little bit of fungus on there with the amount of moisture that we have had, you can actually take Stellas and cut them all the way down to the ground, feed them Osmocote. They will actually come totally brand new out, and they will bloom beautifully in the fall. Sometimes in the summertime they have a tendency to get not to look quite as attractive.
Right.
If yours don't be afraid to cut them down to the ground. Feed them Osmocote. Takes about 3 weeks. They'll be right back up, okay. And they will be loaded with color for fall.
Okay.
You can also do that with hostas. Sometimes you get hostas that get very the leaves get damaged either by slugs or the moisture that we're having with funguses. Don't be afraid to take the hostas, cut them down to the ground, feed them, and they will totally regrow, and they'll be absolutely beautiful and fresh for fall.
Okay. Number two, I have an oak tree that actually is a volunteer from a neighborhood oak tree. It's about 6 feet tall. This year I was looking at it, and every single little branch, it's not a big tree, so on the end of every branch, the leaves look like a flower. They're all curled over and wrinkled, and I looked underneath, and it was whitish.
Yeah,
I'm assuming it's a fungus or something.
You have a fungus on there.
Well, will it spread?
Generally, no. Just generally, just stay on the tree.
Okay.
What I would do, spray that with copper fungicide.
Okay.
And that will stop it. On oaks, generally, if we have excessive moisture, and especially if the night temperature and the moisture is very high, they will sometimes get a tendency to get that. The good thing is it really doesn't hurt the tree any. It really doesn't do any damage to the tree, but it's not as attractive to look at. But by spraying it, it pretty much stops it. And now hopefully we get into a dry period, which will do also that naturally.
Okay. No, I have, because of the rain, I have so much extra foliage over the norm with things like peonies, but other things. Can I cut back some of this foliage
absolutely
without hurting a peony?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Can I cut my irises off?
Yes.
Now?
Yeah, you can go ahead and cut, especially the flower stalk, cut that off, and then when it comes the middle of August, take the iris and cut them down to 6 inch. Just cut the leaves at an angle, and they're pretty well set for, you know, for the year. But the flower stalk and any damaged foliage, go ahead and remove that now.
Okay. All right. Well, no, with the irises, if I only cut them back that far, because I'm accustomed to cutting them way back.
Yeah, well, generally, when it comes the middle of August, you want to cut them back to about 6 inches.
Right. But in the spring, then, does that die off? Do I have to cut them off?
In the spring, anything that's damaged, foliage that's it's not nice and green, yeah, you go ahead and take all that off at that time.
Okay. Okay, one last question. I have a really old apple tree that is my friend. I don't take good care of it. We just enjoyed looking at it. It has, last year at least, maybe 2 years, but this year again, it has dieback, and where the branch actually dies, and it sort of seems to go in a streak down the tree. I'm not sure what it is. Like you said, I don't really take good care of it.
They get apple scab. So what I would do with that, two things I would encourage you to do. In the spring, just spray it with all season oil spray, a couple of times. And then when it comes at the end of May, early June, just spray it with a fruit tree spray. That will definitely stop the scab and will definitely stop the damage. And then any of the branches that they are dead or damaged, make sure that you go ahead and remove those off. And you can do that now. If there's any damaged branch on there, just go ahead and take them off.
Okay. Well, I have a question about that because this tree is big.
I have to take a break for the news. If I can put you on hold, and I'll answer it right after the news. Okay. We're going to take a short pause for the news. We will be right back.
Back to Gardening with Angelo on News Radio WTAM 1100. Once again, Angelo Petiti.
We're back. You are listening to Gardening with Angelo. Our phone number, area code 216-578-1100 or 216-578-1111. Okay, I'm back.
Thank you, Angelo. About this apple tree with the die-off, it's a really large tree. I only have like a little hand sprayer. Will that be good enough?
You're going to be able to reach just part of it.
Yeah.
Do the best you can with what you have there. But you can get a sprayer that can probably go up 30 feet. It has they have a spray nozzle on it that it breaks it up. You can just hook it up to your hose. It works very, very well. It's very no different to use than what you already have now.
Okay.
The only difference is that it's configured in a way that it can reach the height.
Okay. I couldn't write fast enough. You said all season spray in the spring, and what was the second thing?
Just a fruit tree spray.
Just a fruit tree spray.
Yeah, which has the complete mixing there.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Anything else I should?
No, you're that's about dead and done. Just keep removing anything that's dead on it. Just go ahead and take that off.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You enjoy your day.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. Morgan Arangelo. Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Oh, am I on?
Yes, you are.
Thank you. I have a question about all the mushrooms in my yard. I have about 5 varieties. How do I get rid of them?
Just use a lightning lime. A lightning lime.
Lightning lime. Okay.
That will take care of it, pretty much immediately. Basically, what it's telling you that your soil is sour.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the edge. It's very high acid.
Mm-hmm.
So the lightning lime acts very quickly. Put it down and then, let water it in, and that will take care of the mushrooms and get your pH up very, very quickly.
Okay, fine on that. Now, I have another question about I've lost daisies and rutabagas, and some had suggested that perhaps the winter was not cold enough and they like a cold winter. Could that be?
Generally what happens, that could be, if they don't get, vernalized enough, and if they come up, too early, which this year they did. So some of them did get, as they came out, then we had a frost and a lot of them got frozen, and that pretty much kind of, either did some damage to where they didn't come all up, or it killed the whole clump. It doesn't happen very often, but it definitely could have been that. Is it all gone?
Yeah, they're all gone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've planted more, and so I'm hoping that I don't lose them again this year.
Yeah, well, I said that's not something that happens very often. Very, very seldom you see that happen, especially with rudbeckia, and that there is hardly as anything that there is out there. It was just the winter got extremely. We never really got cold enough to vernalize some of the perennial varieties, and that's one of them. The possibility of that is it definitely could have happened. Yes.
Okay. Now one more thing, and that's my flowering crab apple. That is very sad. It's all spotted, and the yellowed leaves and half the leaves are gone. Do I do anything about it?
The only thing that I would do, I would just spray with fruit tree spray. Bionide makes one that's got complete, all the complete analysis on it. Just go ahead and use that. And that's really about all you can do. It doesn't really damage the tree. It just makes it unsightly.
Yeah.
These are varieties that old varieties, which are not, they're prone to apple scab, which is, that's what's creating those yellow leaves. Mm-hmm. And then it comes at this time of the year, it looks more like fall than summer. It's about really all you can do at this point.
When do I start that next year?
I would start that in May. I would spray that one time in May and one time in June, or like mid-June and mid-May. That will prevent a lot of it from happening.
Okay, now I'll do it now. Shall I do it one more time?
I would just do it one time. It'll stop it. It'll stop the leaf falling, and that's really, that's really about all you can do at this stage.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, well, you have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Morning, Howard Angelo.
Good morning, Angelo.
Good morning. How are we doing?
Good. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you.
I have a number of cabbage heads in my garden, and right at the base of where the leaves meet the head, there's a bunch of fuzzy black dots. I think it's a type of, I don't know if it's a scale or a scab. What do I do about that?
Just go ahead and spray it with fungicide. Use the copper fungicide on it. Just spray the base of that. They should stop it.
Okay. And also, I have a number of fig trees, and this year I had a bunch of figs about the size of my thumbnail, and they were all green and growing fine, and then the figs just recently started turning purple and falling off, and they're, pretty small. And at this point, I hardly have any left on there, maybe just a couple. What could have happened to that?
Excessive moisture. And nothing that you could have done about it this year. We know it's some areas, and where we got you get a couple inches of rain every couple of days, it just way more than that plant can handle. Figs are very dry; they love the dryness more so than. Excessive moisture will cause that.
Okay, thanks for taking my call.
All right, you have a great day. Yep, bye bye. Morning, Angelo.
Good morning, Angelo.
Good morning. How are we doing?
Good, thank you. And you?
Excellent.
Good. I'm asking about that clay buster. In the springtime, I was trying to plant some ferns, and as I was digging in my soil, it was very full of clay, but I had to get them in. If I get that clay buster, can I sort of just put it around the top or the base
no.
of the plants?
No, that doesn't do any good there. It really works well when you can mix it completely with it. Basically what it does, it acts as an aerator, and it also acts as a water absorber and releaser. When we get into a wet period like this, it will absorb as much water as it can hold, and then as it dries up, it'll start to release all that water that absorbs, and it creates a very aerated soil. That's really the benefit of that product. But putting it up on top or around it, it's not going to do any good. It'd be a waste of money and time.
Okay.
But whenever you're going to be planting new things in,
yeah.
That's a good idea to take that and work that with your soil, in your compost together. That's how you can make really excellent soil instantly.
Okay. I have a question about my pepper plants. With all this rain, and in between time, I've even been watering them. And when I look out, later in the morning in the day, or noontime, my pepper leaves look like they're wilting.
Yeah, but that, what that is because of the amount of moisture that is in the ground, the new growth cannot handle the light. You know, when it comes out, because of when you have three or four dark days in a row and the plants are growing, then it gets a sunny day. The plant cannot handle the light because the leaves are so young and tender. If the soil is moist, do not water them. That's also another way that for them to preserve moisture into the plant that comes in the afternoon that will actually kind of wilt to preserve the moisture. And then if you look at them in the evening, the leaves are right back up and they're nice and firm. So don't, you know, just because you see them wilt, don't go there and just go ahead and water them again if they're moist already. Because that's when you really start to do a lot of damage to them. That's how they wind up either rotting or they'll wind up with funguses on them. But don't water the plants, especially with the amount of rain that we have had. You have a lot of moisture into the soil already in there. But don't be plants. You'll see that in hydrangeas, where sometimes in the afternoon you go there and they're all wilted. But basically, what they're doing, they're kind of saving moisture for the day. Even though they have plenty of moisture in the ground, they will do that. But by putting more water to it, that's how you can do damage to them. And that the peppers do the same thing. They have a large leaf. And they will just hang over for 2-3 hours in the afternoon, and then comes at night, they come right back up.
And here I thought I was being good to them.
No, you're okay.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good weekend.
Have a great day. Yeah, bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Morning, Arangelo. Good morning. How you doing?
Okay. Am I on?
Yes, you're on.
Okay, like when I'm doing my gardening and everything in the hot summer and the heat, I sweat a lot. And, I wear a baseball cap, different baseball caps. And then when I go to wash them, the salt stain is still on my cap. Is there anything you could recommend to get that salt stain off the cap?
I don't know. I don't know how you can get that off, but I'm sure there's some products out there that can do that. That's pretty much a natural thing that happens. I don't know what you could use to get rid of it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, yep. Have a great day. Yep, bye-bye. Morning, our Angelo.
Good morning, Angelo.
Good morning. How are we doing?
I have a question. I got the oxalis in my garden, the grass.
Yep.
And I've had lawn service come out here, and for some reason they just can't get rid of it. Is there something I could put on it? Because it's starting to spread even more.
Yeah, have they used the Roundup on that at all?
I don't know what they used.
Yeah, what I would try the just a straight the super strength Roundup.
It will kill the grass.
It will kill the grass. It will kill the area where it's at. The whole area where it's at. Whatever it touches, it will kill it. The oxalis has rhizomes at the bottom. So depending on, if it's being, really spreading out, it's a lot easier to kill that and then go ahead and overseed that area. Because if you let it go, what's going to happen? It's just going to get bigger and bigger in the area. And once they get established in there, they're harder and harder to kill.
All right, because it's been there for a few years, and every year they tell me, "Oh yeah, we can get rid of it. We can get rid of it," but it just seems like it keeps spreading.
Yeah, it's something that you have to really hit, and you got to hit them when the foliage is very young. Mm-hmm. When you once they harden up, nothing will penetrate them, so it won't do. Even though you're spraying them, it's not going to do anything. The best time to catch that is when that growth is nice and fresh. That is the time to do it, but. The only way you're going to kill that is going to be with just, a plain Roundup on it, straight, and then the area where you, where that, dries up, just go ahead and once that the oxalis is gone, mm-hmm. then go ahead and just, you can overseed right over it. They'll come right back through there.
Okay, then. All righty. Thank you for your information.
Yeah. Have a great day. Yeah. Bye-bye. Morning, Gary Angelo. Hello. Good morning.
Hello, Angelo.
How we doing?
Okay, listen, I dug my garlic up this week, and it was very good. It had a very good year. But a friend of mine gave me some garlic that he had raised, and it was the size of a tennis ball. Is that elephant garlic?
Sounds like it. Yeah, it's pretty big.
It's big. It was huge. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it's in that family. You know, what I would do, you know, dry it and then try it. You know, if the flavor is good, use it. If you don't like the flavor, then don't use it. But it sounds like it's in that family. Have you got all your garlic out already?
Oh yeah, it's very. I got it laying in the garage.
Yeah, dry it really well. Dry it, and then that's really, it's extremely important to get that totally dried up before you store it. But on the large garlic, I would take a clove once it dries. Once it's all dry, and just try it. See what kind of flavor it has. If the flavor is good, then just go ahead and hang it up.
Oh okay. Is it good to wash it off with water?
No.
Just dry it out.
It's gonna have some dirt on there, so just dry it. When it's completely dry, then make sure you with your hands just clean it all out to get all the dirt off, and then hang it. By washing it, one you start to take some of the nutrients out, and then it also that water will penetrate back inside. You want to hang it when it's completely dry, and the best way is just to clean it out and just hang it.
I usually cut the stems about 8 inches long, and then try about six of them together, hang it up in the garage, and let it dry.
Do that, and then when you go to store it, you want to store that as in as dark of a place as you can possibly have, and cool.
You said dark?
Dark and cool.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
All right.
Have a good day.
Have a great day. Yep.
Yeah,
bye-bye. Bye. Morning, Gatto Angelo. Hello, good morning.
Hello.
How we doing?
Red Spiders.
On what?
On Brock Bonds, yeah.
Okay. Just go ahead and, Captain Jack's or 8, that will take care of it.
Okay, I pre-potted the plant 2 or 3 times, took all the dirt off the roots, put it back in, but the goddamn spiders keep coming back. And it's not until they start, sprouting some decent leaves. Then the leaves just fall off, and I have to...
All you can do is, as they come up, just spray them. But you did, by taking the root, the soil off and cleaning it all out, it's about the best thing that you could have done. But just as it comes up, just go ahead and, before it starts to grow, just go ahead and spray it so you do a little preventing on them.
Okay, what did you recommend when we kind of spray?
8.
Say again?
8, just like the number 8.
Oh, 8, okay.
Yep.
Not the Captain Jack.
Or you can use both. You can use either or.
All right, listen, thank you very much.
All right, you have a great day. Yep, bye-bye. Morning, Gatto Angelo. Hello, good morning. Hello.
Angelo?
Yes, good morning.
Hi, good morning. I have a flower bed that is being overtaken by the, I call them daylilies, those tall ones that are orange.
Yep, the natural ones.
Yeah, is there any way to get rid of those other than just digging them up?
Yeah, I mean, generally they have these little bulblets under there. So what I would do to get rid of them, and this is really a good time to do that, dig them up and get rid of the clump. You are going to get a little bit of them coming back, out of the little bulblets. They'll have hundreds of them under there.
Right.
So. By digging them out now, they will come out this fall, and by the end of August, they'll be up, and they'll be probably about 4 or 5 inches. When they get to be where their leaf just opens up, just go ahead and spray them with, full-fledged Roundup, just a straight Roundup. That will kill the plant. That will kill the root.
Okay. Now, I have some plants that are maybe 5-6 feet away. Will the Roundup bother them at all?
No. No, not at all.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's about the only way to get rid of them. And like I said, the timing, the timing is right now. That gives them a chance to come back up in late August.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
All right. Well, you have a great day. Yep. Bye-bye. Morning, Gatto Angelo.
Yes. Hello.
Good morning.
Angelo?
Yes.
Yeah, Angelo, I have a Sun Valley maple tree that last fall, about September, some deer had rutted against it. And I suppose they damaged maybe in total about 50% of the bark on it. And I'm wondering about its survival. Are you still there, Angelo?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just listening. I'm listening, yeah.
Anyhow, about 50% of the bark, I wrapped it in paper last year. It's about 13 feet tall. I put it in 2 years ago. Last fall is when the deer did that, wrapped it. I took it off this spring. It's looking pretty healthy. It's been doing fine, but a friend of mine had that done, and 2 years later the tree died. So I just wonder if you have any input on that and what to do.
Yeah, what you want to make sure of is that where the healthy skin meets the wood,
yeah,
that's all clean. Don't, you know, make sure that it doesn't create an area there to where you know, insect can go there and lay their eggs. So make sure it's really clean all the way where all the wound is, and then where the exposed wood is at, you can actually fill that in with some tar.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Tar. You want to dry it up. You want to make sure that there's nothing open in there, so the air keeps drying the wood out. You can actually coat that with the tar so that it seals it. And I've seen trees live a long time that way, and they, you know, they will. It's not going to get completely healed over, but the skin will grow over some of that dead wood. But you know, the tree is going to be a weak. It's going to be a weak tree, even if it survives for a long time. That area there, if you get a heavy windstorm, it's a very easy area for that tree to snap, because it really doesn't have any strength in that area. So long term, it's not going to really, you know, it's not going to be a very strong, healthy tree, even if it survives. But you know, if you want to keep it there, as long as it's healthy enough, that's about the best thing that the best way to do it. But long term, it does weaken the tree.
Okay, do you think it'll grow tall again? Or
it will. It will. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It will, yeah. It just, you know, being young enough, you know, it's what, about a two-inch tree or so?
Correct.
Yeah. So being that young, that has an opportunity to really reseal itself and grow. You know, as the tree is healthy, just seal the wood. Make sure that wood stays sealed so that the light in the air does not go penetrating into the wood any more than it already has. Mm-hmm. And that should, you know, it should heal up to where it should be around for a long time.
Okay, use regular roofing type tar.
Yeah, you can use that or you know, anything that it can seal that. Just put a coating of that on it.
Okay.
And clean up all the way around the, you know, where the skin got damaged. Make sure that there's no pockets in there for insect to harbor their eggs in there.
Okay, real good. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, you have a great day. Yep.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Morning, Angelo.
Good morning, Angelo.
Good morning. How are we doing?
Good, good. I have a mimosa tree. This is about the fourth year, and it's doing beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
Pink flower. It's a gorgeous tree, kind of an unusual tree, I guess, maybe
yep.
for this area. But it's doing very well. Must be in the right spot. But the limbs, it's probably 12 feet tall. The limbs are getting very, very wide. You know, the crown is
yep,
very, very wide.
Yep. That's
and I worry
pretty,
that maybe they'll snap off. Is there? How do you properly?
You can, you know, you as if they once they get bigger than the area that they're in, you can go ahead and cut them back. You know, sometimes depending on how late in the year you cut it back, you know, you may take some of the flowers off. But
right.
You must have. Are you by the lake?
Not too far, about half mile.
Yeah, okay. That's why I've seen quite a few of them along the lake area that they've actually that lasted a long time, and they're absolutely stunning trees. If the area that it's in is too small, you're going to have to keep cutting it back so that it fits the area. But they are a wide tree. They, you know, they do have a tendency to grow out and then they kind of limb over.
Right.
So just, you know, just to manage it, you know, by trimming it back in the space that that it's in. And if it survived the last 4 years, 2 years ago, we had 25 below zero. So if they survive that their year, that tree is going to be there for a long time, and that's they are quite stunning. I've only seen I've only seen a few survive in the in the lake area. If they're protected, they're by the house. They're getting the heat from the house. They should be able to. You should be able to enjoy that for years and years to come.
Is there a time of year to trim that?
Probably now. You know, now that their growth is pretty extensive. Like I said, the only negative to that is you may be taking some flowers off, but generally they will regenerate enough new branching in there that you should have plenty of flowering on there for next spring.
Last question is to go back to one of the knuckles and just trim it right there.
One of the nodes. When you do it about a quarter inch past the node, and when you trim them outward.
Okay.
Okay.
Perfect.
Have
Thank
a great
you
day.
Much.
Yep. Enjoy it. Yep.
All right.
Yeah. Bye bye. Well, the hour is pretty well gone. Beautiful day out there. It's supposed to be in the mid 70s. Hopefully a lot drier. Not much humidity. Our plants really need to dry up a little bit. And hopefully we have a dry week so that the soil gets rid of some of the excessive moisture and the plants can really start to thrive. Have a great weekend. Be safe. I'll be back next Saturday. Bye-bye.